Trigger warning. This season, we'll be talking about things like triggers, trauma, suicide, mental health, grief, and just things that are very relatable to a lot of people. If this is something that is going to affect you when listening, please be cautious. But other than that, enjoy the show. Hey guys, welcome to a new season. We're back finally. I'm really sorry for the break, the length we took. I know you thought we died, or you thought
life was lifing, man. Or you thought that, everyone goes through shit.
You thought that we wasn't doing this anymore, but that's not how that works. Okay,
we didn't ghost you.
We're not gonna do it no more. We're gonna let you know. Okay. We've both had very, 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 very
busy schedules.
Life stuff going on, and so we just didn't have the time. And also, we didn't actually think that we were going to come back. We wasn't sure. But after some long talks and a lot of hesitance, we're back.
Yes, we are. And we're so happy to be here.
Not our superheroes wear capes.
Oh, God. I can't. You started with a cliche. Okay, fine.
So welcome to the new season. This is our fourth season. And we are going to get into some deep, deep, deep stuff this season. I mean, we're still going to focus on the comedy, but we're definitely going to go deep this season. So please, as a warning, if you're listening to season four, know that there's going to be a lot of emotional and maybe some triggering stuff. So trigger warning to anybody else.
And bear in mind, it's all based on our opinion of whatever subject we're speaking about.
Yeah, of course. It's all based on personal
experience.
Or personal experience, or even just our perspective of something. It's not gospel. It's not set in stone. It's just how we feel at that point, this point in time. Mm-hmm. And so we're going to jump right in into, because y'all should know already. So what's the catch?
I don't even start, you know. This episode, I swear to God, it's gonna trigger me.
Trigger me.
Did you get it? I've got so many fucking triggers, and I'm not even gonna lie, if I was to list them all, we'll be here until I don't know when before we even start with this fucking podcast. But there's a list, and I think primarily it's because I've suffered from anxiety, and I overthink, and I have this element of control. So I feel like, in my perspective, my triggers are a lot more enhanced, or, you know, blown way out of proportion, and I become not necessarily a drama queen, but I can be. I get emotional real quick. And I know you're folding your arms because I know you agree with me. You're there like,
I'm
no need to cuss her out because she's admitting it to herself.
I'm the same though, but I can't judge you for that, because I very much can be in my feelings very quickly, and like, I'll have an outburst, or have, and then when I check back, like,
when you calm down,
like a couple of days later, I'm like, I shouldn't have reacted like that. But there have been some times where I check back and been like, I should have gone to 200. Okay, I should have burned that shit down. I should have fucked up.
You and burning things. After 1 year, you're still burning things.
Yes, I don't care, bro. I will. And let the police try find me in it. Let them try find me.
Oh my God. What's your new address, though?
No, don't try that, yeah.
Oh, mate. Yeah, no. Let's just bring it back. I've got a whole long fucking list of triggers, and I don't want to go and dive into all of them now. I'm just saying in advance, there's a shitload. What about you? What's the catch with you?
I'm gonna be honest. We usually pre-plan our episodes, and because we pre-planned them a while ago, I don't know what the fuck mine says, so I'm just gonna look at it right now.
Oh my days, why are you baiting us out for?
I just think it's for me right now, I'm gonna read out what mine was. And mine was, at the time, being overwhelmed with making sure that my career goes the way that I want it to. And I think that now I'm actually doing there. Like I'm actually working on that. So that's irrelevant. Currently, I'm still working very hard on my next project. I know I promoted it last time and it did come out, but I've got a new project coming out and I'm really like happy about what's gonna happen. Excited. It's a 2-part project. Our first part should be out like later this year, and the second part will be out early next year. So yeah, I've just been focused on the music. I've just been focusing on career. I've just been focusing on like relationship and then, like also being separate from my family because I've kind of moved away from them. So trying to balance time and
priorities.
Yeah, and just making sure that I'm still spending time with them and still making sure that I have a relationship with all of them. Like all of my nieces and nephews, I took them to see Into the Spider-Verse.
Oh yeah, how was that? That must have been draining. I'm not gonna lie. Looking after my nieces afterwards, I'm like, I want to conk out.
Listen, there was four of them plus my cousin, who's a bit older, so he can help me manage them. And it was great. They had a good time. They weren't really that like troubled because. They can be, but also because they knew they was going to see Black Spider-Man. And I emphasize on Black Spider-Man. And I'm looking at the microphone while I'm saying Black Spider-Man.
Your face.
That they were excited. And the film, the movie, whatever you want to call it, did not disappoint.
No, but that's good. Representation is a thing now. You know what I mean? Little Mermaid. Look at Little Mermaid. There was a whole fucking uproar, the fact that she was played by, is it Halle? Chloe Halle.
I'm gonna be honest, Halle. I love me some Halle, but why the fuck is there not My Caribbean Crab?
I haven't seen it yet, so no spoilers.
By what people have said it. But I've heard that the crab is no longer Jamaican, and I think that's what? Fucked up, Disney.
I was going to say,
not how can Disney, you sing under but Disney. Disney. That's fucked up, Disney.
Should bring Shaggy into that shit or something. No joking.
Shaggy. No, I don't want Shaggy. Maybe Sean Paul. I think Sean Paul could do a good job. Not Shaggy.
I can't deal.
It wasn't him. It wasn't
him. No, but that's good that you got all of that. You put it into fruition, you know? You put your mind to it. Since the last time we wrote this episode, this document that we were supposed to record like a year ago, a lot's changed within that year, and we've actually, you know, put it out in the universe, and the universe responded. So you're in a good place. You're excited for your music project.
I do need to go to the gym, but
oh yeah, girl, don't even get me started with that shit.
Apart from that, I'm like, sometimes you gotta put on some weight during the winter to keep your ass warm, and now it's too hot, so I have to lose it.
Sweat your bollocks off.
That's gross.
TMI, mate. Anyway, all right, well, cool. Well, let me just, okay, there's a few things from the list.
Not a few things, Jay, not reading them all, yeah. Just get to the
I'm not reading it all, just a few things. Obviously, some of the triggers that got me thinking as well was that, like, you know, time is moving. It's moving really fucking fast, man. I'm not going to lie. Last year just flew by, and next thing you know, the weeks, the months, the years,
but it's just like, listen, people think that it's because of lockdown, but it's not because of lockdown. We just hit that moment during our lives where
it just feels like everything's fast forwarding at such a pace where you're like, shit, I need to catch up with myself.
My mom always said to me, when life, you get to a certain age, everything's just going to start moving really fast.
Yeah, I'm at that age. Let me tell you, I'm at that age. I'm nearly mid-30s, mate. For me, that's middle age. And I keep arguing with other
people.
You're
going to keep disclosing all of this personal information to people. They ain't going to find out how old I am. You better keep that to yourself. Okay?
We said this in the first however many seasons or whatever.
I don't care. But yeah, not remember.
The fact that the age factor is coming in, I just feel triggered because, you know, everyone around me, and it's like, obviously it's not a race. I would love to have certain things in my life, and I had certain things in my life planned out, and the fact that it's not going to plan, and it's like, oh shit, there's a pivot in my career point, and I'm like, oh, going a different direction, and then I'm dipping into multiple streams of income now, and like starting something that's separate, and it's all exciting stuff. It's just now I'm like, okay, well shit, where do I fit babies and you know, settling down and buying a house. So like for me, that's I don't know if it's because I'm such a career led person and I'm more ambitious than I am. I want the career more and I want the businesses more so than I want the whole, you know, family and the hormones and the pregnancy and having loads of kids. And I parts of me feel guilty because it's just like,
yeah, but you why can have that after.
Like, I no, but seriously, my perspective is changing for real. Because I was like, all right, cool.
So many people think that because they want a career, they can't have kids and they can't do this. They block a lot of that stuff. Like, they're like, you can still, after you've had kids, after you've been married,
can go back to your career and stuff like that. It's just, I'm conscious because I'm getting older.
But it's also a partnership, isn't it? So like,
I don't have the time to, and I don't know if I'll have the energy because a bitch be tired already. And I'm not even going to gym or naturally. You know what I'm saying? I'm taking folic acid. I'm taking multivitamins. A bitch be tired. And for real, like I genuinely can't. So that's why I'm like conscious of, okay, I need to actually settle down, make a choice, one or the other, and then figure out from there.
Yeah, but I don't think it's a choice. And I hate that mindset that it's a choice.
It kind of is a choice though, because you choose whether to put yourself, because from a female's perspective, you choose to put yourself in a situation where, right, my body needs to now be like physically prepared to endure the hormones, the changes, the everything that involves having a kid. That's a lot to ask. And then for you to mentally, obviously, give birth, physical, mental, all of that kind of stuff, emotional, and then get back to your career. It's harder than it seems, because I've seen so many people that have done it that are my age or even younger, and they're all talking about the mental health aspect of after giving birth that no one really talks about, the loneness that no one really talks about.
Postpartum.
Yeah, that, but it's further than that. So there's people that I know that have had their kid and they're like however many years and the kid's already grown, like small little toddler, and they're still going through something that, you know, they feel it's not the same. And I'm not gonna lie, I'm worried for that. So I was speaking to my partner in terms of potentially, you know, not that there's a risk that I might not even want to have kids now. Like, it's going past the point where I'm actually thinking about, you know, it'd be great to reproduce and whatnot. So that's one of the triggers. And I know that's part of me overthinking, because my mind does that a lot. But the whole adulting and, you know, growing old, and not just old in terms of age, but body-wise, whether or not I can physically carry out the duty of actually being pregnant and following through. Because I am aware that if I do, no matter how many years on, I'm going to be the older spectrum of a mother. So there's a lot of things that I've been overthinking about in that aspect. But then there's also work. In the past year that we haven't been recording, girl, the drama. I feel like I stepped back into the 1920s where females were controlled by men. They were told what to wear, how to look, how to act. And I'm just like, fuck you. I literally put my middle finger up and I was like, no, this is me, take it or leave it. My skill set is there. So I don't understand why you're coming at me with all this physical appearance thing as if I'm not, like, you know, smart or well presented. And then it turned into the old classic workplace bullying, which apparently is a fucking thing still. I know we're all grown ass adults, people even older than myself, and it's become such a thing where it's, you know, toxic masculinity times 5,000 plus the whole superiority of I'm the one in charge, so I whatever I say goes, and you have to do whatever the fuck I say, and, you know, all these rules that, you know, gaslighting as well. Oh, I didn't tell you. I didn't act in that way. I didn't talk to you in such a manipulating manner or in a condescending manner. Oh, sorry, it's all in my head. So, yeah, sorry, I'm going around in circles. but I had a drama at one of my workplaces, and that's the reason why I decided to give them a big middle, you know, big fuck you and quit with immediate effect, because there is no way in hell in this day and age I will stay around.
But
and
you haven't spoken on it. You've just been very evasive. Speak on it.
What happened? So basically, I was working at this place, and I was one of three altogether senior management teams, mm-hmm. senior managers, sorry, mm-hmm. that looked after a team of people. And the initial goal was to help the business develop and grow in and sort of like inject new life into it and bring it to the digital age, because it's very, very traditional. No offense.
You bring it to the digital.
And because I was making all these changes, and I was like, look, we're a team here. Like, we're all looking after the same venue. We all want the same things. We're supposed to be working together, having each other's backs. And it just turned into this malicious, toxic working environment where the two male senior managers that, you know, I was supposed to be working alongside, I don't know whether it's they just felt, what's that word, where they feel threatened almost, that I'm coming up with all these new ideas and they didn't come up with the ideas, and then they're trying to sort of talk to me in a condescending manner, and then use the fact that I'm a female, the fact that I'm from a different ethnic background to them, and then that I can relate to certain cultures, and then they make snidey remarks and comments, and there's like an underlying, you know, line of racism. And there are people in that same company that have worked there for years, and they've all said the same thing to me on separate occasions, that, oh, it's a thing. This is a thing. You know, I'm like, no, this is not a thing. Like, it's a thing for you guys.
Why are you staying here? I literally said that to you because I said that to you because I know what it's like being in a very hyper Caucasian conservative, like white male driven environment, mm-hmm. and the type of things that they can say. I'm not saying everybody's like this. I'm not saying that all white males are like this and all white males with power. But in many circumstances, I've been in environments where that has been the case, and their ego is like huge, and everything is just focused on them being superior. And if they're not feeling superior, then they have to make themselves feel superior by doing certain things that put the other person down.
And it's almost like showing, like one case was showing me up in front of my team, and it was so uncalled for. It was like, really? Rolling my eyes, like, we are the same age. I'm confused. Why are you acting like a fucking prick? And the thing is, for me, there is a fine line for me when it comes to the workplace, because I spend, like everyone, you spend a majority of your time at work. You need to enjoy the job. You need to enjoy going to work, waking up and not feeling anxiety, not feeling any type of stress, or not feeling any kind of way, or tiptoeing on eggshells, hoping that you're not going to say something wrong and then someone's going to step up and act out like a fucking prick. For me, it's like, I'm nice up until a point where you're literally drawing the fucking line and you think you can get away with it just because, one, you're superior, you're a senior manager, and you think that you can just do whatever the fuck you want to do. I don't give in to the whole manipulation, the condescending tones. I don't give in to the indirect messages or indirect comments of and snidey comments that are fucking racist and sexist, telling me how to dress, telling me that, oh, I relate to this person because, you know, we're kind of from the same cultural background. And I'm just like, for real, you actually want to say something like that? I'm like, no, fuck this.
But they will. That's because they feel like they can, and they feel like nothing's going to happen about it, especially with companies that are private. They're private companies, and like they know the owner, or they have a good relationship with the CEO or the director or whoever. They will say what the fuck they want because they know they're going to be able to get away with it. And they know that the person that's in charge feels a very similar way.
What was alarming for me was the fact that I had only been there not even a year, and I was like, bun this, I ain't taking this shit. Fucking talk to me like that. So I confronted them, and I don't think that they were expecting me to confront them. So I literally, you know me, if I've got a problem with something, whether it's work, whether it's professional, whether it's, you know, formal or informal, I will say it regardless. depending on my delivery, depending on how angry I am on the manner, that's a different story. So obviously I'm pissed off and I just said it straight. Why the fuck, you know, blah, blah, blah. I don't appreciate this. This needs to change. Oh yeah, cool. Oh, gaslighting. No. What are you talking about? You can't, really? We were doing that? I don't think we were doing that. Were we doing that? Don't tag team. Don't start tag teaming as bullshit and then go behind each other's backs and start bitching. We are not in school. We are fucking grown ass adults. And what for me was alarming was the fact that there are so many people in that company that have stayed there for years and they're just taking it. And they don't realize that their mental state of mind, the more I had conversations with them on the slide, one-to-one, they were like, oh yeah, you just eventually learn to just accept it and accept that they're going to be this way and accept what mood they're going to come in is going to determine how your day is going to go. No, fuck that. Like, get out of there. And I'm so glad I quit. And I know it was scary because at my good old age,
girl, you know, stop making yourself sound like a fucking old woman.
It is harder. The more senior you are, it is kind of harder to find another placement because you're in a niche position now. So if you want to stay within that industry, it's really hard to find your next role and make sure you want to invest and stay there. Because at the end of the day, the older we get, we just want longevity and security. So that for me was a fucking trigger. The fact that, do I stay and accept this bullshit, or do I go and you know, be out of a job for goodness knows how long, rely on my partner to sort of have our back and cover expenses and all that all the finances and stuff, or do I just take the shit? But I'm so glad I left. Sorry, I'm not gonna go on one because like I will fucking go hard, but let me not.
Okay.
Because a bitch be listening. I know a bitch be listening.
Listen, this was me a couple of years ago. Don't forget. We had this very similar podcast episode. Oh, yeah. And it was me that was going on.
You're going off on one.
And so I know exactly how it feels. And like, I've been there. I've done that. I just refuse to be there again. And most companies are going to be very similar. And you just have to know how to navigate your way. If you can stay and just it not affect you, fine. I would advise you to do that.
Yeah, I mean, the first instance would be to confront and then obviously in a professional manner and see if it changes and then document things. But the thing is, they were cutting corners and they were telling me, oh no, let's have an informal chat. And then next thing you know, they take me in and then it's a formal fucking chat. And I'm like, I'm trying to take notes, trying to record the conversation. I'm trying to write shit down or try and get someone to come in.
But the main problem is that it's not about them just being that way. It's about how they previously led themselves to come across to you. So you thought that they were a particular way. And then mm-hmm. as time went on, again, it's like that whole wearing a mask thing and leading. So in a relationship, when you lead someone to believe that you're someone that you're not, it's very one similar. Way, yeah. They led you to believe that it were a certain way. And they made you feel like that you were friends, that it was just more than a working relationship. And then
to be honest, I don't care about being friends when it comes to senior managers. If it means getting the job done, fine. Then let me with my team. Then I can be friendly with my team.
The point I'm trying to make is that when they make you feel friendly, they make you feel like you can have that kind of relationship where you can talk about things and have those conversations, you then feel open enough to say the things you need to say. And then when it comes to a certain circumstance and they go to someone else and they say, well, she said this, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah, they
it's
just
kind of like, I said
you.
This to you in confidence and now you're telling someone else because you made me believe that we had this type of relationship where I could just come to you and be very open. And that's not the case. And now I'm at...
What type of relationship? You mean a professional one?
Yeah, no. And that's exactly it. Some people don't know how to have a professional relationship. A lot of it does involve manipulation and just...
Girl, don't get me started with the whole professional relationship, yeah, and people having affairs and all this kind of shit with other employees. Let me not. Anyway, moving on.
Do you want to move on to the next segment or...
I mean...
this episode, we've actually changed our segments because a lot of the segments were not relatable to the topic. And obviously the topic this episode is triggers. So you will go through them as we go through the episode.
I mean, for me, if you are triggered, if you are feeling in, if you're in a bad emotional state, everyone's got their own outlets. Everyone's got their own ways of dealing with things, whether it's talking to someone, opening up, whether it's bottling up and going banging out at the gym, you know, releasing those endorphins and all that kind of stuff. Or, you know, if you're creative, like you, True. I know you do music. All of that's in your music.
Okay, girl.
Rude, you know? Okay, you know, right. I'm there, like, being your fucking groupie. You're like, okay.
It's fun. I just want people to hear it. That's for the focus. I just can't wait for you guys to hear it. But I don't want to say too much about it because I want it to be more of a listening experience.
Yeah.
If y'all don't get it, then I will let you know. But I just for now, I just want you to listen to it. And you have to listen to both parts in their entirety. Otherwise, it's just not going to make any sense. Anyways.
No, I understand. Sponsor that over here.
The thing I was going to say is, like, right by now, when it comes to triggers, it's exes. It's very much exes are, like, very triggering. Because they just seem to randomly pop up at any time they feel like, and they want to have conversations with you. They want to act like nothing's
all
changed.
The shit with the cutters.
And it's like, I've not heard from you for like 3-4 years, and all of a sudden you're just popping up on Facebook, bro. You know what it's called? It's called Facebook. Okay, it's about seeing your face, bitch. I don't want to hear from you. You don't need to say shit to me. All you need to do is look and
hold
see.
Me back.
Oh, he's still as fine as he used to be, and then close the page and move on. That doesn't give you the right to be opening up chats and saying about, oh, how are you? I've not spoken to you in ages. Blah 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 blah.
I don't understand. I don't understand that mentality though. Like, you guys broke up for a reason, whether it's amicable or whether you broke up and it was like a really bad breakup. Like, you're the past. You've moved on from each other. You've built, you know, separate lives since then. And then you want to rock up and be like, hey, how you doing? What's new? Who's your new boyfriend? Oh my God. What's that going
to
do?
And I'm very much a person, as I said to you, and I've said on many occasions on this podcast, that exes are exes for a reason. Okay. They're not exes to be friends. They're not girlfriends that the girl is scrapped and it's just friend, or boyfriends and it's just scrapped, or they friends and it's scrapped. It's your partners, yeah? And once your exes, it means that there is an X put on your chest where the stake goes through or the bullseye is.
What, flaming arrow, yeah?
Well, yeah, it's just triggering to me. And sometimes it can be very confusing. If I'm going to be honest, it can be very confusing. If you're not currently in a happy relationship, yes, but when you're not, it kind of makes you think maybe we could try again, blah 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 blah, and really don't waste your time. I'm gonna tell all of you, don't waste your time
just because you're lonely.
Don't waste your time, because I've done it about 3 or 4 times. You know what, I nearly set myself on fire for making the mistake. So let's not
ones when you realize,
yeah, but that's like the most triggering thing that I've been through at the moment.
No, okay. If I was to revert all the way back, and I'm just coming from, like, obviously exes and work and all that stuff, that's like in the, that's like in the present or somewhat past or somewhat, you know, like a few years or whatever. Me personally, I think the biggest, the absolute biggest, and the reason why I react or act in certain ways, depending on the scenarios that I'm in, whether it's relationships, working relationships or whatever, mine has to be grief. Like my childhood is basically halfway through, it was traumatized straight. And I didn't realize how bad certain events in my past were triggering me through the years, you know, like it's been however long. And like, for me, it's like, you know, I'm fully aware of it because we psychoanalyze, right?
I mean, not as the same as yours, but it's like a lot of my childhood was funerals. Like most of my childhood was going to funerals. I think I'd been to my first wedding was my uncle's wedding, and I was like 21. I was 19, 20, 21. I can't remember the exact year. That was my first wedding. And like all through my life, I've been to christenings and funerals all through my like earlier life. So it can be very triggering.
Thing is, like, you don't register it until when you're older and you're like, oh, okay, that's like.
Yeah, but also it makes you think, is this life just dying? Like that's what it makes you feel like. Especially from my perspective, I didn't feel like I'd seen anything more. So it just kind of made life really dull and like bleak, and like it wasn't really worth like living and stuff like that. It really does have that effect on you if that's all you see throughout your childhood to like your adult, into your adult life.
And if anything, it forces you to mature a lot quicker, because I've had conversations with people in the past as well. And, you know, when I'm trying to relate to certain subjects that's very, you know, let's just say it's a downer, but it molds and it gives them an understanding of who I am as a person. So when I get very conscious of who I open up to, and how much I let the other person know about me and my personal life and how I am as a person, because I know that, oh, okay, cool. So they've had like a life that's full of like sunshines and rainbows and all that kind of shit. They wouldn't necessarily relate too tough to what I'm going through. And it's kind of like trauma not attracts trauma, but it relates. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
But yeah, that's just touching on another trigger. If you're going back all the way back to where it started, So I think it just naturally leads into the next point of, all right, these are your triggers. How do you react? How do you manage the situation at hand when you are triggered by something? What are, you know, the outlets, so to speak? And then we go into the next segment.
You're so stupid. Oh my God.
You gave me the side eye and I was like, 180.
I think if we're talking about outlets, which is the next segment, is called outlet. Like a retail outlet.
I can't deal.
It's outlets. Okay. Anyways. One of my mind is like it's not a coping mechanism, but it's just more to help me release all of that tension, to release some of the
stress,
built up stress, and even just some things that I feel like have been sitting on my chest for a long time is gaming. Now, y'all know I'm a very big gamer, and I love shooting someone's face off in a game. It just releases so much anger. I also love me some Mortal Kombat 11, which Mortal Kombat 1 is coming out in September. If you ain't purchased it, make sure you pre-order it. There's no free advertisement here. I just really love Mortal Kombat, and I'd like to rip some of y'all heads off too.
I swear, we need to holler at all these games that you play and be like, can you sponsor us? Bloody hell. Go on, carry on. So gaming is your escape.
I think I can be quite an angry person, and so a lot of that anger is used in gaming. I also use my music to outlet a lot of my emotions, whether it's anger or it's hurt, whether it's pain, whether it's hurt and pain, the same thing, whether it's sad, it's optimism, like it comes out in my music. Project's out soon. It's unbottling. You know, like when you buy a bottle of pop or soda or fizz or soft drink, whatever y'all call it, and it gets really tense and you about to open it and the lid bursts open and it's fizzing up. That's what it feels like when you build a lot of that
pent up energy.
And so it needs to come out somewhere. For me, I just try to use some of my outlets on a regular basis. That's why I game a lot. That's why I make a lot of music. I write music. I produce music. I perform it as well. So there's a lot of outlets for me to get a lot of that emotion out. I see on a very very often occasion, sorry, I'm tired, so I'm a bit yawny, that people don't have those. They don't have outlets. I see a lot of tension being built up at work, in offices, or around family, around like shared offices, shared spaces, coffee shops. I see a lot of build up, like anxiety and triggers and stuff like that. I see people really act out in public.
Mm-hmm.
I speak to a lot of people, and they say to me, "I don't really have anything as an outlet. I don't really have anything to get this out to make me feel a lot better." And I would advise you, if you have something that you feel like everybody's going to class something as negative, in my opinion. If it's not calming or whatever, someone's going to class it as negative. Gaming can be very, very negative. Of course, Mortal Kombat, you're ripping people's heads off and stabbing them and drawing blood and stuff like that. You've got you've got like Call of Duty and games like that where you're shooting people dead and blah, 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 blah. You have, even in games like Fortnite, a lot of guns, a lot of like violence and so on and so forth. I understand that. But I would rather be doing that in a computer game
than in reality.
Yes, in a
mm-hmm.
in a fake environment rather than in a real one. And so that's where I can separate the two. As long as you're able to separate the two, I think gaming can be a very good one. And it doesn't even have to be those type of games. It can be card games, it can be puzzles, it can be like any type of game that helps you relieve stress.
It's almost like distracting your mind, isn't it?
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly that.
Yeah.
It's like distracting your mind until you've calmed down or your subconscious has calmed down. My current
You got a food coma.
Sorry, I just ate, so I'm very tired now. My current outlet is baking. Like right now I bake a lot. Cakes.
Girl, I need to still try some of your banana bread, banana cake, your little banana cookies, just like
a couple of hours ago. Cakes, more cakes, cookies, breads, anything you can think of making, like I'm down because I love food also.
Yeah, I think for me. I just want to, because I know that you'd be yawning up the place, so let me just take over here as well. For me lately, what I've actually, I've basically tried hot yoga, and I think I tried it when it was like one of the hottest days recorded so far in London for our summer period. And I thought, oh yeah, let me just go to yoga. It's going to be a nice little stress release or whatever. Obviously, for some reason, I find yoga, normal yoga, quite boring. And I was like, all right, cool. I've heard all the hype about hot yoga. Let me just go there and try it out. Went there by myself, made new friends, spoke to people. Obviously, I've told them that, you know, there's certain areas that I'm stiff and it's probably due to stress. It's probably due to my posture when I'm constantly sat at the table, on my laptop, on my computer all day. And I just need to, you know, release the toxins at the same time. So it was fucking hot. It was like 37, 38 degrees. I'm not gonna lie. I like an idiot, I sat right underneath the vents where they blow hot air at you. So I was dying inside, but I didn't want to be the newbie that was like, oh, I can't take it, guys. I'm gonna faint. Let me just step outside. I thought, no, let me soldier it, which I did. It was an hour and 15 minutes. And for me, just, you know, when you sit in a steam room and you let, you know, your pores open and it releases all the toxins, for me, it's kind of like symbolic because it's releasing all the bad energy. And afterwards, you feel good. You know, you've stretched, you're more flexible, the toxins, you've sweated, you're fucking, you know, my t-shirt was drenched. Gross.
What do you think? It's hot yoga. Like, of course.
Yeah, but for me, I swear to God, like I was sweating so much here. They were like, oh yeah, so now you got to put your hands on the mat and then do this. And I was like, hands on the mat, bro. I'm slipping and sliding left, right. Like my fucking sweat is everywhere. And I'm just there with a fucking towel, like quick, wipe. And everyone's there sweating and shit. And I'm like, how are you still gripping up the fucking mat? Like, But it was an experience. And I think trying new experiences as such as well, especially when it caters towards your health and in turn to your mental health, that for me, I'm all pro for. So obviously you can go to the gym if you're not a gym buddy, or if you're not a gym bunny, or a gym goer and you find it quite boring because it's like tedious and everyone's kind of in there, try something new. Hot yoga for me was a really good outlet. I'm definitely going to go back. Probably not like twice, three times a week, maybe once a week is enough for me. And then I concentrate a lot on getting Thai massages. So I've got this lady who I love and adore, and she does home visits, and she's like a proper Thai masseuse. She can tell where you're tense and why you're tense, and she'll give you the whole, you know, all of that stuff. But I usually go for a 2-hour massage. I'm trying to go as often. I'm trying to go more often as opposed to leaving it with long breaks in between, because essentially your back's going to be all like stiff up and all that shit. But it's a nice way of releasing toxins as well. So, you know, you find yourselves when, if you've ever had a massage and suddenly your nose is blocked and you're like, like that, it's because the toxins are actually coming out.
You didn't have to do that on the mic, bro.
Yeah, no. I like the sound of it. It's giving them that whole perspective, you know what I'm saying? And then obviously there is journaling, which, you know, I'm quite guilty for this because I've kind of neglected that side of things. I used to have like a secret blog where I would write diary entries based on how I'm feeling in certain periods of time. And then, you know, years later, I go back to the blog and I'm like, oh, it's still active. I read through the diary entries and I'm like, rah, like this is how I felt and this is what my thought process was back then. And you realize how much you've actually grown from that point up until now. Whether you've grown or whether you haven't, then it's just no questions to ask yourself. But that creative side of things, like I've neglected slightly. I'm getting myself back on there, you know what I'm saying? Slowly. Have a way with words. But yeah, that's lies. That's been my healthy outlets. What was that?
Huh?
Come again? Yes, what for?
I'm joking. You can't think.
I can't think. I'm joking.
I can't do.
But then, yeah, so we've touched base on healthy outlets, but then counteracting that, there are unhealthy outlets that people sort of turn to, or unhealthy habits that people adopt. Do you have any true?
Of course I do. One is burning people's houses.
I was waiting for it. I was like, where's the matches? I know what to get you.
Having arson tendencies.
Okay. But why is that though? Can I ask? Because we've had so many episodes where you reference burning things and because I'm just like, why are you attracted to fire? Element.
Like drowning just doesn't do it the same way that burning someone's house.
Oh my God. We have a serial killer.
It just doesn't. And it takes too long. You gotta fill up the entire house before anybody's gonna drown.
Why you gotta fill up a house? Why just put their head on in the fucking bathtub and, you know, just...
It's just quick. It's quick. It's fast.
Fire is not quick.
You want me to set your...
I think it takes the same amount of time. Let's not compare because obviously we're not serial killers here. But I'm just saying, I think drowning and burning in a house and burning in a house, it takes near enough.
No, but I don't mean like, we're not getting into this, but I'm not talking about the way that you die. I'm talking about like how fast it escalates.
Well, yeah, because your skin's frying and then the fumes go in, but it's near enough the same thing when water goes into your lungs and it fills your lungs.
I was just talking about things are like, not people.
I've been watching too much Criminal Minds.
I mean, pardon me. Sorry, I just burped. If people are... happen to be in the house while it's burning, that's not my problem.
Oh God, and we're all there saying, yeah, violence is not the answer. Okay. I play gaming, I shoot people's heads off.
Let me be real, I don't condone anybody burning down houses. I think my most unhealthy one used to be drinking. It's not anymore. I don't drink that much anymore. I just drink casually. Mm-hmm. I don't use it to kind of cloud my emotions and blah 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 blah. The second one is definitely outbursts of anger. Now this is where the burning may come into play.
See, you always gotta reference it.
outbursts of anger. Just sometimes you can already be at 100 and that lid is on the top. And yeah. Someone can just
and
add
it only
that
takes a small
1%.
Thing. It's a small
that blows
fucking
that
thing.
Lid up, and then you're in a completely different place, a completely different mindset. You're screaming, you're shouting, it's not healthy. It's bad communication. It doesn't resolve anything,
exactly.
And also it can make the situation a lot worse than what it already is. Mm-hmm. So frequent output of how you're feeling. For me, it's just very important to keep that lid from blowing off.
Popping, yeah. You like Pringles. Once you pop, you can't stop. Here's some matches. I'm joking. He's giving me the dirtiest look.
Because who eats Pringles?
I do. What's wrong with Pringles?
Like Pringles.
Anyway, we're going off on tangents again. We always do
cherries.
This.
Maybe we could talk about cherries popping. I'm okay with that.
Oh God.
I mean, I'm on one today. I like to isolate myself, and I tend to do this periodically, just so that I can get some perspective, but also just understand my thought process, understand how I like my mind is working, whether certain things I'm thinking are healthy, whether certain things I'm thinking is not healthy. Do I need to go see someone about it? Do I need to speak to friends? Do I need to, and it really just, it's more of a meditation. I shouldn't say isolating. Yeah. It's more meditating, like just clearing your mind, being a bit centered.
Yeah. I'm not gonna lie, you know me, you've known me for years, and it was worse if I was triggered or if I'm going off on one or if I'm in a bad mood or emotional state or whatever and I'm single.
Oh yeah.
That's the worst.
Course. Of course.
Like drinking, smoking, clubbing, like that was back in the day because I'm too old.
I have finished mine. Okay. Don't get into yours.
Sorry.
Okay, isolating is a very unhealthy one. So do not do that. Make sure you've got people around you. Make sure you've got some sort of support system where you can talk to people and they can help you get through whatever you need to get through. I get that sometimes it makes sense for you to be alone, and sometimes it may even feel better for you to be alone. But though periodically, not just shutting yourself out from everybody for a long period of time, because sometimes you can overthink and sometimes it leads to thoughts that are very intrusive.
Downward spiral.
And I've definitely been there. And so it's definitely something that you should make sure that you're talking to someone about, so they can let you know exactly how much you're worth and reassure you about who you are and so on and so forth, because sometimes it's not easy for us to do it for ourselves. Sometimes we need someone else to do it.
And surprisingly, you'd be surprised. You just need those positive affirmations.
Yeah.
There's people to remind you of who you are and, you know, what you're about. And because when you go down, I've been here and you have actually pulled me out so many times in the past where I'm in a downward spiral. My negative thoughts are literally taking over and I'm literally believing everything that I'm thinking of. And I'm making the situation even more worse. And you're literally like, almost metaphorically, like slapping me across the face and being like, what the fuck is wrong with you? Look at yourself. And I'm just like, yeah.
It's a bit annoying though, because like, I consider most of my friends and family, well, the women, like the bad bitches, like of who I know. Because I I do hang with people that carry confidence and carry a lot of positivity, and they help other people, and like you just have to kind of sit there and remind them, like, you're this person, you did this for us, you did this for them, you helped this person, you helped that person, you did this, you did that, you did that, and like you did so many different like things that it reminds them of who they are and the energy that they bring to other people's lives and the all the good they've done and so on and so forth. And I'm not saying
sometimes they forget that though.
It's easy for you to forget. And that's why you need reminding sometimes. That's why everybody needs reminding sometimes. You can't sit there and to say, I'm always going to remember. I'm always, because there may be a circumstance that hits you and makes you think you're lesser than that. And it really does overpower the rest of your thoughts. And so it makes it very difficult.
That's kind of like being... That's almost like, if you're putting this in a scenario, it's almost like being rejected from a relationship and then you're always questioning yourself and you're internalizing and you're wondering why and you're thinking you're not good enough. And then suddenly you go on a downward spiral. You try to answer questions that you can't answer.
You can breathe.
And then... and then...
Or Eminem.
Like... and then suddenly you just have this moment where you snap yourself out of it. I don't know what it could be that triggers that moment. but then suddenly it's like, bitch, why the fuck am I stressing over this guy for, please? And then you just move on.
Can I jump back to healthy? So I think it's just very important that you always speak to somebody that is a part of your support team, someone that you can really speak to and not feel like there's going to be any judgment. There's going to be like any criticism, and someone to just listen sometimes. And what you should not do is decide that you want to pick a random person that you've never met before, or go out drinking one night and just offload all of your feelings onto that person because you've been drinking or you're drunk. And you know, that person, that person won't judge you when... That's not always helpful. Sometimes it's very much like a domino effect. You can then pass that energy on to someone else. They pass it on to someone else and it causes a domino effect. And sometimes some people are not as strong mentally. Some people are not as...
But they're not clued up in your life. So for you to offload something onto them, for example, you know everything about my life, the ins and outs, the fucking ugly parts as well. And there's times when I lose my shit and then... I'm obviously, other people are like, oh, like, you know, are you okay? And I'm just like, I can't be asked to start this conversation with you because I can't bother to start from the beginning to explain everything again from the jump, and then explain this part to justify it. So I literally call you straight up, or if I can't get through to you, I wait until you call me back. And I'm like, I need you to tell me if I'm overreacting in this scenario, if I'm being dramatic. I need you to tell me this and that because you know me and you know how I can be.
That? Oh my God! My second opinion is just very important.
Yeah,
clarity. In my opinion, that's why I always come to you and say, look, have I done wrong? Is this an issue? Should I have done this? Should I have not done this? Mm. And I know that you're going to be very honest with me. I know you're not going to say, oh no, it's fine. You didn't act. You didn't act like
no,
that.
No, we like
you
the shouldn't bloodness.
Act like that. It's kind of like, if you know that I didn't, why'd you act like that for? Why did you need to act like that? And we have that... About
we have that relationship, yeah. Well, you call me out. You're like, girl, I think you're being a fucking dick in this situation. And I'm like, I'm just pouring my emotions out and you're calling me a fucking dick. Like, fuck. Anyway.
Well, it's very important for you to have that someone that you can have that relationship with. And like, we're just very privileged to have that, but not everybody does. If you don't have someone you could speak to in that way, then you should try to speak to someone that is close to you, and if not, try to speak to someone that is professionally
able to give you some sort of advice.
Advice is the correct word.
Because there's a difference between, because to counter that, like, I was close with a couple of people beforehand, and for me to turn around and tell them that, you know, I'm feeling this way, I'm feeling that way. And obviously they're giving me their opinion. They know me, they want the best for me. They have my best interest. But if their opinion is to lash off on one and like literally lose their shit, because that's what they would do, then suddenly it's like, you should do this too. And it's like, you don't need to necessarily take it as Bible. You know, someone's imparting their wisdom, whether or not they know you to some sort of level, they're initially giving you their opinion on the scenario.
I understand what they but there's do. A difference between giving advice and saying this is what I would do or this is how I would have handled it, and you should have done this, you should have done that. And I don't feel like telling someone you should do this, you should do that is a good way to handle a good way to give advice, because no one should do anything. We're all human. We will make mm-hmm. mistakes. We will do things in ways that we know, feel like we shouldn't have handled it in that way. But you can't go around telling people that you should do this, you should do that, because your way might not even be right.
But girl, believe me, for the years I've fallen out with people because I didn't take their advice as Bible. And I'm like, girl, that's what you would do. Thank you so much. I'm just like, you know, opening up to you, getting your opinion. What would you do in this scenario? And then leaving myself to myself to sort of find my own clarity and calm the fuck down and figure out what's best for me. Because at the end of the day, what's best for you. Exactly. Do you know what, it's your life. It's like, your do you know life. What I'm saying?
And something I can honestly say is that I used to get really annoyed when people would ask me for advice and then not take it. But the older I've gotten, the more I've learned that I don't have to take your advice.
Yeah.
Like, they don't have to take your advice. You don't have to take their advice. It's advice. Therefore, it's an opinion of something that you should do or what the other person thinks you should do. It doesn't mean that you have to do it. At the end of the day, it's your life, so you should make the right choices for your life. And if sometimes mm-hmm. it feels like you may have done a shitty choice or your choice is wrong, that's okay. And I'm okay with that. Right, but I will happily sit here and watch your life fall down the shithole when that does happen.
I can't deal, man. You say it with such a calm, soothing fucking tone. I'ma just burn your
But that doesn't always that's not down. Always the case. Sometimes the advice you give can make someone's life fall down the shithole too. So it's very balanced and it's just probability.
I can't. I'm just gonna fucking end this conversation right here. Like, let me just let you talk. So yeah, how would you like to, what's your idea or your ideal of like murdering someone or like, you know, ending someone's life?
Okay.
Anyway, moving on.
I think this is the best time for us to move to the next segment. Yep.
Going off on tangents, mate.
I'm gonna let you take this one. We're moving on to what's your situationship.
Yes. So we wrote this episode a while back, but we're revisiting it just to see if it still applies with what we're going through, with what we've experienced and whatnot. Some of which aren't. We've outgrown and whatnot, but one of my main and biggest triggers is the fact that, like, adultery. A guy that I know or used to be close to, just randomly opened up as
with?
If I was one.
Is this someone you work?
Yeah,
with?
As if someone as if I was like one of the boys. I'm like, we ain't close like that. But I clocked something, and he's been with his missus for a while, like a decade or so. And he's only recently proposed to her, and my guy is off there flirting with XYZ kind of any girl, and I clocked him. And obviously there's no backtracking from that. So he openly admitted that he was seeing this other girl on the side. And then he'll turn around and make sly comments like, oh no, but you know, I've got sisters, I respect them, you know, I respect women, this and that, all, you know, all that fucking bullshit. But I'm like, if you respect women, what about the girl that you've been with for a decade that you literally just proposed to and you're planning a fucking wedding with, and yet you're going behind her back, lying to her, ooh, and cheating off on her with someone else?
Wow. You
please
just
tell me where the respect is. Where is the R-E-S-P-E-C-T-E-C-P? Ali G style. But for real, where is the respect? You like to brag about how you're a respectful person. You like to brag about, you know, your relationship and how amazing this person is, and you know, your missus is, that you can't wait to marry her and spend the rest of your life with her, and bear children.
Hold on, was this person I don't condone any of this. I just want to get down to the nitty-gritty. Did this person cheat once, or were they having an affair?
They were having a full-blown affair, man. And the fact that I clocked him, it just, for some reason, in his head, it gave him the comfortability to fucking open up and tell me everything and how sprung he is and how, you know, blah, 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 how he's done this and that for her. He sent her all these really expensive gifts. He knows full well, and he's kind of joking around, leading, knowing full well that he's leading her on, that he's told her, I'm never going to get with you. I'm still marrying the girl that I'm marrying. And for me, I'm like, are you dumb? I'm looking at him like, you've known me in my past where I've been hurt, like professionally, like, and it affected me in the workplace. And I opened up to you in that sense because I thought we were cool. And you knew how bad and how triggered I am about men cheating on women and then treating them as such, but then turning around and acting like a fucking prick and being like, oh yeah, you know, I respect women, you know, I'm all about the women and pro women and yay to my missus and stuff like that. But when you're going behind her back doing God knows what to some other girl and you're coming back home to your missus, like, I feel sorry for her, man. Fucking hell. And that's the biggest thing for me. I'm like, sorry, in what scenario have I made this environment comfortable enough for you to actually speak and open up to me about this bullshit?
But quick question. A lot of listeners would ask the question, why didn't you tell her?
Listen, there is one thing where, okay, I don't know her, like, on like a personal level. If I did, straight, I don't give a shit. Boom, I'll tell you, because that's your life and I care about you. You're close to me and we're on that level. But for me, it's like, for example, if I go out and I find out that someone else is cheating on someone I know of them, I'm not going to then turn around and put my nose right in it and just be like, hey, yeah, I saw that person. He was cheating on you and she was cheating on you and she had her tongue down his throat. And, you know, do you know what I mean? I don't want to insert myself where I don't want to be involved in the drama.
Yeah, that's completely understandable. I just wanted to ask the question because I know a lot of people will probably sit with less.
I know, yeah, a lot of people would. If I was close, for example, obviously, if it was you, touch wood, right? And shit hit the fan, and I saw
it would never be me.
Obviously. But I'm just saying, touch wood, hypothetically speaking, if I caught your guy mashing up with someone else. Obviously, I'm coming to you straight on. I'm literally live fucking reporting this. This is Trisha Takanawa, like, live reporting. I'm on the hunt right now. We are with the fucking, you know, do you know what I'm saying? Like, I wouldn't.
That's so stupid. Oh my God.
News just in. No, but for real, I would just say everything. I'll blow it out. I don't give a shit because you're the person that I really care for and I don't want something like that. You, if I didn't tell you, goodness knows what, like, he wouldn't have told you. You wouldn't have found out from someone else or found out yourself. And you're going off in the relationship thinking that everything's fine and dandy when I'm just there like, this motherfucker was, you know, I don't want to get too in the details, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, but that's completely fine. Look, at the end of the day, I understand why you didn't want to insert yourself. I understand why you wouldn't want to be involved.
I don't give a shit about drama. And even if it is someone else's drama, and if it was big as that, because that is life changing.
But
if I was to tell her,
can we just ask some serious questions? If that was you,
yes,
would you want someone to tell you?
Yes, I would want someone to tell me. But the thing is, I'm not like I said, I'm not close to this person, so I don't really feel the need to put myself and insert myself into their drama that he's created. But
if the circumstances were the same and it was you, would you want the person to tell you, even though you don't feel like you're that close to the person?
Well, if they knew, I guess I would, yeah. But in my head, I'm like, I'm such an overthinker. I would probably conjure up the fucking truth myself before I even found it from someone else.
I completely understand that if the tables were turned, you would want the person to tell you. But I also understand why you wouldn't want to insert yourself, because it's usually the messenger. I can't even speak English. It's usually the messenger that is shot when that type of thing is communicated.
Yeah.
Usually the person gets angry at the person that told them, because they're like, oh, well, you shouldn't have told me. Blah, blah. And it's like,
then 5 years down the line after you've married him, have kids and whatnot and got a secure
No. That's not your business. That's not your business.
This is what
you
I'm
gave
like,
them
wanna...
the information. Whatever they do with the information is their job. Is up to them. But all of that is like, I just don't know. In the nicest way possible, I would hate to see someone. If I believe the person was genuinely a nice person, I would probably open my mouth and say something. Now you can lash out at me as much as you like, but I could still go home and sleep nicely in my nice bed by myself or with my man.
Memory foam.
and sleep peacefully at night.
Yeah.
There's gonna be a different situation for you. So I'm just glad that I gave you the information, and now you can choose to stay or go. It's up to you. Some people also have to understand that there might be agreement in that relationship where he's allowed to do stuff like that.
Each to their own, mate. Each to their own. Like, for me, I just found it very offensive that suddenly, because I caught him out, he found it comfortable. It was almost like finally he can use me as an outlet. And I'm like, I don't give a shit about you being sprung off some next little fucking little team, bro.
Why didn't you tell him that he couldn't talk?
Because there was an element, at the time we were working together, so there's an element of professionalism, and a majority of
it. What is professional about him telling you that?
As in him making up comments and bringing up comments about in front of the office about, oh, my wedding, da, 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 and I'm just there looking at him with side eye like, are you joking? You're all there saying da, 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 but then you're on your phone constantly sprung on someone else because she's acting up, because she's like clued up on what the fuck is going on. Like, this is what I'm saying. Like, the reason why I backed off as well is the fact that, because for me, I'm fucking triggered by this. And again, I don't want to be involved in no one else's fucking drama. I don't care. It's their life at the end of the day. And yes, there is an element of wanting to know if the shoe was on the other foot. But there are other means, and the truth will eventually come out.
You're very kind. You're very like honest. I would use my work phone and send some anonymous text message, bruv.
I'm not gonna lie, yeah. There were times when I was like, bruv, like, you do realize you're trying to talk to me in a condescending way, and I know a secret that will fuck up your life.
But you wouldn't use that.
But I'm not spiteful and I'm not petty like that.
But I am. So if you had given this information to me, I would have fucked that shit up.
No, but this is what I'm saying. Like, for me, I am triggered by it, and I've taken myself away from that situation. I do feel sorry for the girl.
Sorry for her, because I'm going to ask you after this episode who it is I'm going to send in this episode.
Girl, you know who this be. Don't chat.
I'm going to send the episode.
The next episode.
I'm like, hey, girl, so we wrote a song about you.
If you just fast forward to like 39 minutes and like
we wrote a 2-hour song about you, but there's just a little section that you should really focus on.
Listen to the lyrics. I can't deal. I do feel bad, but at the same point, for me personally, I had to remove myself from that situation because it was like, are you joking? Sorry, I just, when I think about it, I just think of filth. And I'm just like, you're a piece of dirt under my shoe. Even worse. I don't want to go too tough, because at the end of the day, everyone goes through whatever the fuck they go through. But the fact that you are knowingly having an affair and you're bragging about your fucking wedding to other people as if you're so madly in love and so devoted to this person that you're marrying, and then yet you disrespect her, and then you brag about how you respect women left, right, and center because you've got sisters. What? It's a joke. Anyway.
That's a technique of gaslighting. That's like saying I'm not racist because I have black friends. It's the exact same thing.
Exactly.
I wouldn't cheat on her because I have sisters.
Oh, but I respect women because I didn't grow up with my dad. I grew up with females around me. Yet you're sprung on the little thing on the side.
You even say females is a bit weird. Who even calls them females? They're like, they're not animals. They're women.
Period. anyway, enough about me. What's your situation?
I had one, but I'm not going to say it. So we're going to move on to the next.
No. You don't get to skip this fucking segment, bruv.
Not going to say mine because mine's a bit too close to home, and it's a very a big ongoing situation at the moment. But we will move on to
I love how you swerve this, not even coming up with a different fucking scenario.
We'll move on to the next segment, which is Don't Be Insecure. We've called it Don't Be Insecure because of the whole triggering aspect, and I just think that this matches more than whatever we called it before. The lessons learned, that's it. You want me to go first?
Yeah, girl. You didn't do no segment previously.
I think it's still a lesson learned, but like the thing I shouldn't be so insecure about is the fact that you can't avoid your triggers. Like, yep. There's no way for you to matrix this bitch and try and avoid any trigger shots that are coming at you, because it's not going to happen. It's just not. When none of us are that nimble, none of us are that agile, okay? And also, I'm getting too old. My back would stay in that same position that Neo was in if I tried to dodge those bullets. So those triggers are going to come, but I think it's just best you learn coping mechanisms and ways for you to be able to deal with them in the best manner, because you never know when they're going to come also. Sometimes they will just randomly come at you when you're commuting or when you're shopping, or like it could be at any time. I've had moments where triggers have literally hit me at a train station and I've nearly had a breakdown in the middle of the train station in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And so it was a lot, and I would just advise anybody, if you deal with anxiety or any type of mental health issues, you should really try to work out a coping mechanism. Something that can break you out of the state, something that can reduce your overthinking or reduce the anxiety or just reduce your blood pressure. Because I really do, like, people always say to me, like, I know you have like really some like mental health can sometimes creep up on you, and I know how sometimes you have bad anxiety attacks and panic attacks. How do you deal with them? And it's like, I just do the things that I want to do. Like, I'm not going to let someone sit here and criticize me for being a gamer because I sit down and game. It helps me with life. I love the problems that I had. And to be fair, I'm in a much better place now, being someone that likes to stay home, chill, watch TV, maybe cook some meals, bake something, do a puzzle.
Homebody.
Like, game. And it's not just about being at home. It's just about doing chill things rather than go out getting drunk, smashing glasses, throwing drinks at people. I don't want to be around that environment all the time, man.
Yeah.
Bad enough I had to suck
no,
it
I can actually I'm vouch for the whole gaming side of things, because my boyfriend is a huge gamer as well.
No, he's not.
And it's hit that he's got the many hours, mate. The many hours of
he
of
is a
I'm joking.
He is a moderate gamer. But it's fine. We don't judge.
He is not a moderate gamer. I'm sorry. He games 24/7 as and when he can.
He don't game more than me.
I think he does.
He definitely don't game more than me.
Trust
me. The only reason why I'm not gaming
yeah.
now is
compare?
Because I'm on this
compare?
Podcast with
you.
You
want to compare? You want to compare? No, but he uses that as an outlet as well. And he used to go out a lot beforehand, like always going out drinking, bar hopping and all that stuff, because it was the scene at the time back in the day. Like, it was just, we all worked in hospitality, so it was easy for us to just go bar hopping and get free drinks and just say hi to friends, because everyone worked in hospitality at the time.
Yeah,
and it
course.
Was a vibe when you knew all the DJs and you knew it was going to be a sick night.
It's a vibe.
But now it's got to a point where he's feeling something, he just wants to, you know, let loose and relax the same way as you. That's why I can resonate with what you're saying, because I see it in him. Before, I used to get so fucking pissed. I'm like, bro, you're on this 24/7. But taking into consideration what I do on my downtime, whether it's watching TV, whether it's doing my nails, whether it's learning something new or on my laptop doing something or journaling, which I rarely do, or anything else, that's my version of it. That's his version. He only has one sort of like stream or outlet, so to speak. So that's why I understand where you're coming from.
Yeah, and I don't mean it. Gaming is the one that everybody should choose. Just find your thing. Like, find your thing. It might be building miniatures or building boats or like
I just
gardening.
Want to go back on what you
like, it
said.
Could be anything.
I kind of want to touch back on what you said and how you're saying triggers, you can't avoid them, and that you need to learn your own coping mechanisms. Now I can't speak English. But also, I think it's very important. This is something that I've learned myself as well. And that's either through therapy, through talking to you, and trying to psychoanalyze myself and understanding the deep roots of where things came from and why. It's always understanding the why and exploring, why am I triggered by this? Okay, cool. So this trigger came randomly whilst I'm walking down the street and I see something. Okay, let's rewind here and you know, look at the whole scenario. Why was I triggered by this specific scenario? What can that, why is that connected to something? Is it connected to something in my past? Something that's traumatic, something that's happened to me, something that I've seen, something that I've witnessed or
not immediately
lived alongside though. Or do you know what I mean? Like
not immediately. Take a moment.
Obviously,
a couple of hours,
your coping mechanisms. But I think it's all in the long term. I think it's very important for you to actually explore the why, because that way it will actually help with, you know, control the triggers that do come up, and then suddenly it's not a big thing anymore, and you've sort of outgrown that. Whether it's professional help or whether it's with your friends, like you said, talking to your tribe, or just your own sort of, you know, alone time. Downtime and gaining clarity in the whole situation. I do love a good psychoanalysis, so you can always talk to us.
Of course, we all do, darling. We all do, darling.
No, I actually do. I find it very interesting because
no, that wasn't sarcasm. That was me saying. We all do.
Sorry.
We do. That's what, why do you think I watch?
Because you rolled your eyes, girl. You always rolling your eyes.
No, I'm like, we all do, darling. the reason why I watch a lot of crime. True crime is because I delve into the psychology,
yes,
of things. It's not about me,
exactly,
being sick and twisted.
And the behavioral analysis, yes, exactly.
Yeah, it's more like, why do people act this way, and like, why, what can make them be this way? Like, what does it stem from, and yeah, how can you overcome it? Because I'll be damned if I'm raising some kids and they have some damn serial killer tendencies.
I wouldn't, like, be surprised, True.
Listen,
arson, burning things, and all this kind of stuff.
Yes, and that's a trigger. And I'm learning how to go.
At least you realize it.
I'm learning ways to deal with that, okay? I don't think my thing... It's not that I... Like, let's get down to the bottom of this. It's not that I enjoy... Like, I'm an arsonist, or I enjoy burning shit. I just think that my, like, childhood growing up with, like, superheroes and stuff like that, like, I love sorcery. I love, like, that is my thing when it comes to playing games. And like, if I'm into a game, if you have powers, bitch, I want it, okay? I don't care what it is. I want it. Like, currently, I've decided, like, I'm playing Diablo. And I decided I always pick the sorcerer every time I play an RPG, because they got fire power, they got water power, they got like electric power, earth, they have elemental powers. I love that. Mm-hmm. Okay. If I had fire powers, I'd be like, what's his name? Johnny Storm from Fantastic Four. I'd be flame on this bitch.
So,
and fly.
Side note, we're going to be delving deeper into true psychology in the later episode. Oh, God, no.
But okay, yeah, so I just like
fire. We know
I think
you like fire.
Fire is a cool power to have. Mm. Like, you know, when that bitch just get on your nerves at school and you just feel like you could just like flick a singe off the bitch's eyebrow or something.
Dude. Like, everything is relating to violence. Setting someone on fire, setting someone's house or belongings on fire.
I didn't say I wanted to set
like
her on fire.
Off their fucking
I
eyebrow.
Said I wanted to set her eyebrow a little bit on fire.
I can't.
But that is why I'm like, I have this thing about fire. Just elemental powers in general. If I was super damn. I damn have some elements.
Your imagination must run wild, though, because for you to imagine, oh, this bitch is fucking pissing me off. If I had like a...
Do you know I've tried? Like, I've literally tried to,
well, like Spider-Man,
raise
the
my
thing
eyebrow
with your hand.
Or like blink or like raise my hand and start shaking a little bit, see if something happened.
Oh, mate, that was like me when I watched Harry Potter, you know? I was like, oh.
Really?
Wingardium Leviosa.
When have you ever seen a wand? Tell me whenever you've seen a real wand.
Wait,
Exactly, dumbass.
Joking. Oh, we got jokes. We got but jokes. Yes, but yeah, so just.
I've already said mine. I don't know if you said yours, so you go ahead.
Girl, I said mine. I was just like, find out the root cause of why you're triggered by certain things so that when you eventually, when these triggers do pop up, like you said, you can't avoid them. It's not necessarily your coping mechanism. You know, you've learned your coping mechanism, how to deal with it, but you've, because you know the why, then you're like, oh, okay, it's not as a, it's not as much of a big deal as I originally thought it would be.
Of course, of course. And it usually isn't as big of a deal, but you just you just blow it up in your head because this is mental health, isn't it?
Yeah, exactly. I'm really excited about the rest of the season, if I'm being completely honest, because it's
I know that the last season was very short because we just abruptly stopped. But we will be back on it and the seasons will continue as usual. We will be running our seasons from season to season. So you will get a spring, summer, fall or autumn, and winter. I got it right.
No, we're actually excited because some of the stuff, like obviously a majority of our episodes, they do, there's elements of it that interlink with each other, but we do touch base on of certain course. Topics.
It's the That Speak Cinematic Universe. That's what it is.
Our whole universe was in a hot dance state and nearly... Okay, let me just stop because I just literally binge-watched the whole of Big Bang Theory again. I'm such a nerd. Bazinga!
So right, this will be the end of our episode.
Obviously, tune in. This season is going to be something that you definitely want to tune in and listen to because we're going to be touching base on quite a few home truths that's personal and close to both me and True. Obviously, keeping the comedic
But please, side of please, please bear with us because the setup has changed. We're now remotely recording the podcast from our homes. So we're just getting used to the way that we're going to do this. We also need to get used to like connecting from remotely and so on and so forth. So it may take a little bit. We might be discombobulated this episode and maybe our next two episodes, but we will get there. We want to get back to having a well-structured but also fun podcast. And if you're still listening after being here from like the first couple of episodes, then we
thank you.
We appreciate you so much.
And also, if you've got any issues or anything like that you want to bring up or you want us to touch base on any topics or anything like that, just drop us a question on That's Peak.
You can actually do it on Spotify now. So we will set up a poll just for you guys to like send in any questions that you want to ask.
Updated on a tick.
But also you can email us. I don't know if you already said the email, did you? THATSPIQUE. I got it right that time.
At gmail.com.
Yes. And you will find us with the same PHP.
I can't deal. I can't.
TH.
You got one job.
THATSPIQUE on TikTok, on Instagram, on YouTube, on Twitter. And you'll find Apple. Us you don't need to let them know where they can listen to podcasts when they're already listening to the podcast. apart from that,
thanks for tuning in.